Hey guys, seeing as how this is my first attempt at a real podcast, I just listened to it back and realized I forgot completely to mention Hateful Place Initiative, which is my favorite initiative, as you know if you listened to Jason's October Initiative Contest. You roll a d6, it's side initiative, and if you tie with your opponent, you get a wandering monster check. And if you roll a 1 on the wandering monster check, a wandering monster does appear. We've had a lot of fun with this. A lot of times people are disappointed when there's not a tie because we really want that wandering monster check. We want to add more craziness to an already crazy kind of game. So just wanted to let you guys know I forgot all about that. I really appreciate you listening. This is my first attempt at a real episode, and I do lose my train of thought a couple times. Apologies in advance for that, but I think it came together pretty well, and I hope you all enjoy it. I'd like to thank Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast, Carl from The Geomologist Presents, Joe Richter from Hindsightless, and Spencer from Keep Off the Borderlands for calling and welcoming me to the Anchorverse. Not going to play those calls here today, guys, but hopefully soon we'll have lots of other calls to play. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. I'm Nikki, and I'm once again infiltrating the BroSR. As promised, this first real episode was going to be about The Hateful Place by Dave Mitchell and just kind of what I like about the system. And it's available on DriveThruRPG if anyone's interested in downloading the rules. A couple of caveats. First of all, if you like super crunchy, mechanics rules heavy games, this probably is not the game for you. In fact, it most certainly is not the game for you, as there's not a lot of core mechanics and rules. It's very rules light. It's more about story, this game. So if that's not for you, hey, it's not for you. Also, if you like a lot of intricate character progression or long campaigns, this is not the game for you, as it really lends itself more to one or two shots that are story heavy, or just you want to go and do 4d10 damage with everything you touch to monsters. You know, it's that kind of a game. But anyway, I do think it has some strengths in that it's a really good game to play on the fly if you're just looking for a pickup game. You have 10 minutes to think of something or to put something together. This game will lend itself to that. It has lots of random tables that you can roll on in the actual book, or you can just make something up. Because the mechanics are so simple, you can pretty much do whatever you'd like with the game. I think it also lends itself really well, as I said, to storytelling. So if you really like to play in different worlds, you're not limited to this is a fantasy game, this is a sci-fi game, this is a cyberpunk game. No, you can play all of that in The Hateful Place. It just depends on what you want to do. And I like that aspect of it as well. So not good for long campaigns, not great for character progression, but really great for quick, dirty one-shots where characters are easy to roll, stories are easy to tell, and you just want to go rip into some demons, monsters, whatever. Or have them rip into you. Hey, that's your preference. It is a dark and deadly game. The conceit is that something, the darkness, somehow has come, and you get 1 hour of safety or daylight or however you want to run it, in which the characters can kind of do what they need to do. And not to say that you can't play the game in the darkness, we certainly have, but the idea is that 1 hour is when you get stuff done. And if you don't get it done by the end of that hour, you pretty much probably die. I was introduced to this game by Daniel Norton from Bandit's Keep, and we have played a game where we had an hour to figure out this maze, and if we didn't get out by the end of the hour, the stars would come out, and if we looked at the sky, we would go mad. So I think we all ended up going insane in that adventure, but it was really fun nonetheless. It can take place in any time period, so when you are rolling your characters, you have to know what time period you're trying to roll them for, because that will make a difference for item selection and for weapon selection. So you're not going to play in ancient Egypt and have a laser gun, but you can have different weapons that are common to the Egyptian history. And a lot of times, if you are planning a Hateful Place and not just throwing it together on the fly, it's really good to research and do your research about the historical periods that you're trying to convey in the game. So you can do that if you'd like. You don't have to, but you can. We've done some games that are in the modern world too that were just kind of thrown together, and they were really fun. no research necessary. So to make your character, you know what time period you're in. You roll your three stats. The stats are 3d6 down the line, body, mind, and soul. Your hit points are 20 hit points plus your body score. So if you roll a 7 in body, you have 27 hit points. You also have an attack roll and a defense roll called AR and DR. And in Hateful Place, it's really, really hard to get bonuses to any kind of roll. You have to have a 16, 17 in a stat to get a plus 1 and an 18 to get a plus 2. So bonuses, not really a thing in the Hateful Place. Again, it's not really about that. It's definitely not about min-maxing a character. You're just trying to survive at this point. There are four classes: Fighter, Magician, Believer, and Profiteer. Most of our group have played Fighters and Magicians, the occasional Believer, and depending on which one of those you choose, you can get different bonuses. Like Magicians get a plus to their DR versus Magic or Demons. That's kind of an example of that. The Fighter, you can choose to be a Witch Hunter, depending on the time period, or a Barbarian, or a Paladin. And in the book, it suggests some different stats that you can, or bonuses that you can give people based on that. Like a Paladin might get plus 2 attack versus a demon they're facing, sort of thing. But it's not really encoded in the rules as written. It's more of a think about what would make sense and just do it that way. And rules as written, the game is very deadly. As I said, I'm just going to keep saying that because I don't want people to be surprised if they try to play and everybody dies. Because that happens. I've been one shot before in a Hateful Place game. I had 37 hit points, but every weapon does 4d10. So every monster also does 4d10 damage. So if I have 37 hit points, but the monster rolls 38, then I'm dead. And it is possible, and I've actually seen people roll all 10s on their 4d10 and just do 40 points of damage, which is pretty awesome. So anyway, you pick your class. And I'll explain about spells for the Magician and Believer here in a minute. But then you also pick 5 items. And the 5 items can be anything depending on the time period. Okay, sorry, got cut off there. But the 5 items, depending on the time period you're in, sometimes we give suggestions as to what those items might be. One time we played in a modern game where we had to pick a profession, and then we picked items based on that. So I actually was an ambulance driver, and I had a bunch of stuff that I took out of the ambulance when the darkness came and everything went to hell, as it were. So I had, you know, syringes and some morphine and things like that. And you also pick a weapon, usually one, sometimes two, but there also should be time period appropriate. So if you're, like I said, in a sci-fi world and you want a mini black hole gun, then that's what you take. And again, it does 4d10 damage. Just like an artificially intelligent whip in a sci-fi game would do 4d10 damage. So you just pick, and you get to be creative. And also, you can use things in the environment as weapons. So if you're in a diner, when the darkness hits and there's a, you know, carving knife or a serrated knife that you've been using to eat your steak, then hey, you can use that to fight off the monsters. If you didn't, if you lose your weapon or if it's just what's to hand, you grab that, 4d10 damage, which is what I like. You can get really creative with it. We've had people kill monsters with plates, which is pretty good because they rolled really well on their 4d10. All right. Magic. Rules as written, you get 5 magic spells out of 10. They're very deadly, and rules as written can only be cast once per week. Now, because Hateful Place is a one-shot system, really, this doesn't normally come into play. We haven't really played in a campaign where that once per week caveat came into play. They do cost, in the rules, 10 hit points. So if I decide to cast Fire, it costs me 10 hit points. This is rules as written. So not only are the spells extremely deadly by themselves, but they'll also cost you hit points to cast. And in a game as deadly as The Hateful Place, that can be a big choice, right? Now, the thing about the spells in The Hateful Place is that they are very deadly. They're almost the spells of last resort, almost, because let's take the fire spell, for example. It says the caster can create fire covering 1 mile and with a temperature of 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, causing 2d20 times 100 damage to anyone caught within the fire radius. So 2d20 times 100. So if you roll 16, you're doing 1,600 points of damage. Everything is going to die in that 1 mile radius. This is your scorched earth last resort. We're all dead. I might as well take you with me option. And if that is not what happens, you also have a 1 in 6 chance of receiving 90% burns, causing 10d20 damage, and a further 1 in 6 chance of blindness. So this is for the caster. So spells in the Hateful Place, you're not just going to run around throwing them around. They're kind of your last resorts. There are a few others, like the caster can create a storm up to 1 mile in radius, causing 8d20 to anybody caught in it. Now that one you can survive, as you only have a 1 in 6 chance of being caught by the storm and crushed against a wall for 5d20 of damage. So you cast storm, you lose your 10 hit points, you roll a d6. If you get a 1, then you're caught by the storm and crushed for 5d20, which most of the time kills you. Not always, but most of the time. There's also like a blind spell that, again, the cost is 1 in 6 chance that the caster becomes terminally blind at the same moment that you cause the blindness to the target. So they're not spells that you're going to throw around. They're not cantrips. They are, oh shit, I need to do something about this type of spells. And most of the time, you die if you cast it. But not all the time. So those are spells in the Hateful Place. Now, you might think this kind of sounds really difficult and really deadly and really hard because I have to get a 15 to succeed. I have these spells that normally will kill me and everyone around me if I try to cast them. All demons have 100 hit points. It's really hard to kill them with even 4d10 damage. And demons have abilities to where if you fail a defense roll, they can eat you up in one mouthful, or they can switch bodies with you and kill your whole party. And we've had that happen where demons have taken over a member of the party, and we've had to try to deal with that. It doesn't usually end well. Here's why I like this. Even with all these terrible, terrible things that can happen to you, you can do whatever you want in this system. Again, because everything does 4d10, because you know it's a 15 to succeed, because characters are so easy to roll, you can play whatever you'd like. I have done and the darkness can be whatever you want. It doesn't have to be darkness. Now, of course, I'm taking it a little out of the rules as written, but I have had the darkness be, there's a plague, and you have inoculation against the plague for an hour. So go in and grab what you need to grab and get out before the inoculation wears off and the plague kills you. I have done stories where my players were one of the 6 Tudor queen wives of Henry VIII, and they had an hour to escape from the Tower of London and make their way across a demon-infested London to get to Henry before he had all their heads cut off. That's the kind of game that I run in the Hateful Place. I've also had it where if they were underwater and their suits would only function for an hour before the crushing depths would kill them. That kind of a thing. You can do it where the sun is the problem, where it's only dark for an hour, so, and the sun is so hot that if you stay outside in the sunlight, it will even, you know, burn you, basically. And so you have to try to find shelter from an unforgiving sun. And that's the kind of game that I run in the Hateful Place. I've run so many different types of games in this. So, like I said, sci-fi, modern, regular fantasy. I've run Tudor history. I've run Egyptian history. That I even ran one where the characters were on the shores of Loch Ness, and they had a huge storm coming, and they had to try to solve the mystery of this house they were staying in on the shores of Loch Ness and what the monster was and that kind of stuff. That was a Halloween type game that I ran. You can do a lot with the darkness. If you want to do it sci-fi, you can do it radiation, right? That your suit only gives you protection against the unbearable radiation of the spaceship that you're trying to infiltrate for an hour. So you have to get in, get your stuff done, and get out. A really, 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 really interesting game for telling different kinds of stories. And we've had people, as I said, kill monsters or enemies with plates. I think at one point somebody used a sausage, which is a little bit stretching the limits, but you can make it work in The Hateful Place. You can make just about everything work because the rules are so light. And there's a lot of random generators. In the book, you can generate periods, settings, random monsters, a start. So maybe you have all the NPCs start at the gallows, or the PCs start at the gallows, and they're all going to be hanged if they don't figure something out. That's the kind of game this is. There's a rumor table, there's cursed items, just all kinds of random generators if you want to just throw together an adventure on the fly. And because the mechanics are so easy, again, you can do that. You can just run it. You don't have to teach people a bunch of bonuses or rules. You just say, all your weapons do 4d10, here's your characters, let's go. And I really like that about The Hateful Place. So I don't know, what do you guys think? I made it sound a little bit hopeless, and I guess it can be. We've had people survive The Hateful Place before, and in fact, Daniel Norton from Bandit's Keep and I, we wrote a little supplement to The Hateful Place called Hateful Options. It gives, it's on DriveThruRPG for pay what you want, but you don't, if you just want to take a look at it. But it talks about kind of how to run games in a superhero world, in a sci-fi world, in an underwater world, in a horror world, that kind of stuff. Just some ideas for items, some ideas for, if not classes, professions. As we've kind of tweaked The Hateful Place a little bit, it is a little bit unforgiving rules as written. So our group came up with some house rules in a, called a point system. If you get 4 points, you can increase your attack roll. So plus one to AR or plus one to DR, plus one to one of your ability scores. Or 1 point will grant 10 additional hit points. And those additional hit points can really save your butt sometimes, trust me. Sometimes if we're playing in like a modern world, we'll say 1 point will grant 2 random spells. So even though it's in sort of a modern setting, you can have a couple of spells. Or 1 point will give plus one to a set of skills. So if we're playing The Hateful Place and we want to tweak it up a little bit, we say you can all have different skills that you can roll on, and you can spend a point to get a plus one to that skill. So if we're playing a sci-fi game and you say, I want to be kind of an engineer type, I'll say, okay, well, then I'll give you a bonus if you're ever trying to repair something or figure out how something works, that kind of thing. But that's a house rule. It's not in the game. We kind of made that up because as much as I like the rules light, can tell any story, it does get a little bit confusing if you're trying to actually do something like just something from D&D, like search for traps. You can say make a mind roll, but you have to get a 15 or better. So you can say, well, if you're in, say, a sci-fi world, if your character helped build the ship, then yeah, you can get a bonus to looking for a trap or something like that, or noticing that something's off or wrong about the ship. So we've kind of made those tweaks because as much as I love the game rules as written, like I said, it can be very unforgiving. It can be a little bit harsh, which is fine. I don't mind harsh. And sometimes that's what you want. You want harsh, right? But we have made some tweaks. I feel like I'm not explaining the tweaks very well, but essentially you get 4 points and you can use them to enhance your character in a way that you can't really in the original game. And like I said, I love the original game, and sometimes I'll just play a straight-up hateful place, but a lot of times it's fun to experiment with giving people different options for professions or skills. Make it a little more meatier game, I guess, in a way. But as I said, you can really just pick this up and play it as written, super simple, and do whatever you'd like with it. Now, this has gone on a lot longer than I wanted, and I feel like I'm starting to repeat myself and not explain things very well anymore. So just let me know what you think. If you think it's an interesting idea, if you think it's an interesting system, if you want to check out the Hateful Options thing that Daniel and I did, that's on DriveThruRPG, like I said. It is a content adult, so if you don't have that adult content thing checked, you won't be able to see it, just so you know. But it is under Bandit's Keep as the publisher. But I do love this game. I love playing it. I love the ease of it. The fact that I can pick it up and make up a little bit of a story in about 10 minutes. The fact that I can take stories that I've already read and make the Hateful Place work with them. Because of the easy mechanics, I do love that about this game. Let me know what you think. I can always explain things in more detail if anybody's interested. And I appreciate your patience, as I sometimes lost my train of thought. As this is, like I said, kind of me just starting to get the hang of this whole podcasting thing. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun, and I hope you liked this episode. And about the Hateful Place in general, as you guys know, I like quotes. I'll leave you with another alien quote. When you're playing the Hateful Place, I can't lie to you about your chances, but you have my sympathies.